Chapter 7. Rouge. It was late by the time Bridget left, and Zoe was finally allowed to return to her room. Bridget and Amy had sworn up and down that they'd removed any hint of the AI's presence. Zoe's dad, instead of wiping everything back to factory settings, actually trusted Bridget enough to let Zoe log in without more than a cursory examination to make sure that their system's available memory had returned to normal. Which left Zoe back in her bodysuit staring at her pod. The shiny door was raised invitingly, and the comfortable bed was just waiting for her. But she couldn't do it. She just couldn't go back in there. Something in there was able to copy people. Maybe the resultant images were real people, and maybe they weren't. Maybe Bridget and Amy had created life in their mad scientist lab, which Zoe was totally picturing with bubbling beakers, white coats, and mysterious objects on tables draped in white cloth, and maybe they hadn't. Bridget said she'd done this thing several times. Dozens? Hundreds? Were there hundreds of Bridget clones running around the internet? Or were they in some kind of oubliette, slowly going insane? Could they copy Zoe? Had they already? Were there Zoe clones trapped somewhere? Bridget said not, and mostly Zoe trusted Bridget. Honestly though, Zoe felt like there was still something Bridget hadn't told them. Probably to protect them. Maybe to protect her game because she still hoped to win fair and square and walk away clean. Maybe Bridget already told Zoe's dad. Maybe not. She just didn't know. Zoe Williams might be a kid by the standards of all the smart aleck adults in her life. But she'd figured out a long time ago that adults made mistakes too. It was becoming very, very clear that Bridget had made quite a few mistakes. She was way too smart and way too independent and way too creative. Those weren't words Zoe was used to putting two in front of, in no small part because way too many people, there it was again, used two on her. When you were too something, what it usually meant was that other people couldn't handle you. You thought and acted outside of their little boxes, and they weren't ready for you. Maybe sometimes you weren't ready for yourself. She sighed and stood up, clenching her fist around the headset clutched in her hand. Maybe the best thing she could do was to go to sleep, and chirp. 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 She turned her head and eyed her screen like a snake that might be poisonous, but also might be super cool and wrap around your shoulders for a nice snuggle. That was Jace's ringtone. Biddle-ee-oop. Text message. She drew in a bracing breath and picked up the phone. At Jaceco, you there? You weren't logged in, so I tried to call.
At Redzi, yeah.
Just talking with Dad, you know? Lost track of time. At Jaceco, anything good? Your dad's stories are hilarious.
At Redzi, nah, just school stuff.
What's up? At Jaceco, ran my 8 and logged. Got one of those mouth harp things. Nice quest rewards. Tell you later. Had to leave your buddy NPC alone, and he said to tell you he'd meet you at the inn in the morning. I left a message at the guild, but figured I'd let you know. Zoe's eyes widened, then narrowed.
Oh.
Of course Aspen was off alone on one of his wild goose chases that inevitably got him in a cauldron of hot water. Since Jace didn't know the rest of the gang, he wouldn't leave messages for them, so even if someone had logged on, they wouldn't know where to go. Crispy custard on a cracker.
At Redzi, do you know where he was going?
At Jaceco, nah. He's a weird NPC, so I figured he had weird NPC things to do.
I like him though.
That bat is so cute.
Why didn't you tell me you could talk to the animals, Dr. Doolittle?
At Redzi, yeah, I was going to surprise you.
Thanks for letting me know.
I need to log in now.
See you later.
At Jaceco, Zoe?
At Jaceco, Zoe?
But Zoe already had the headset on and was diving into her pod. Her friend needed her help, and hey, the world could always use more of Zoe Williams.
Falling.
Darkness. Dizziness, which faded as she blinked open her eyes. She sat up, wiping away the eternal log in announcements.
It's so much worse now that I know how much better it could be.
She climbed to her feet, wishing, not for the first time, for her fancy experimental full immersion pod. Looking around, Rouge grimaced.
Back in the dead tent, huh? At least I should have a well-rested buff. A glance at her display confirmed that indeed, she had a 10% boost to all of her regions and increased resistance to sleep and hypnosis debuffs. Suddenly, she remembered something and grinned. Wally! Aspen was supposed to find you and bring you back. Oh man, I need to see what you look like. She used her inventory to put on her boots, since anyone sleeping in footwear, for some reason only the developers understood, couldn't get the well-rested buff, and stepped out of the instance she currently occupied and onto the bluestones of Bright. Quest, knock knock available. Aspen is wandering around his old haunts. Find and assist him. You'd both better hope this is a funny joke. Success, variable. Failure, variable. Accept yes, no. Gritting her teeth, she selected yes with a flick of a fingertip, and then shrieked, just a little, when something smooth and hard pressed into her neck. Reaching up, she smacked at the thing, then dropped and whirled on the ball of one foot, sweeping the other one out in front of her. Her foot thunked into the foreleg of the ugliest horse she'd ever seen. The poor thing looked like it had mange. Its body was covered in fluffy, luxuriously curly fur in rich black and white, but the body was oddly front-heavy, with long skinny legs and a matching long skinny neck and tiny head. The head was nearly bald, except for the thick lashes surrounding the beautiful brown eyes, and it was those eyes that gave it away. Rouge blinked hard, and Codswallop's birdie face swam into view behind the illusory horse face. Oh heck yes! That was a crazy awesome skill. Admittedly, Codswallop was still going to attract attention because, and there was no getting around it, he was as ugly as a horse as he was beautiful as an ostrich. But still, she could ride him without worrying about people instantly identifying her just from her bird. Gracefully, she rose to her feet, throwing her arms around her steed's neck. She froze, feeling the fluffy feathers under her hands. Oh boy! She buried her face in the dusty feathers, her imagination summoning up the scent of warm bird and fluff that she could smell so clearly when she was in the immersion pod. Sorry, Wally, she murmured softly. You looked a little different there for a second. I'm glad to see you, buddy. The ostrich burrowed his head into her curls, chirruping softly in greeting, and then promptly began to pluck gently at her hands with his beak, looking for treats. She summoned a sliced apple from her inventory and laughed as he ate it with greedy urgency. He wasn't really hungry, she knew, since the dead tent counted as a stable as far as mounts went, so they were fed, watered, and brushed as needed while their owners rested inside. All of which made no difference whatsoever to her eager bird, who had finished the apple and was now looking at her belt pouch with a considering eye. She pushed his head away gently, laughing. That's enough for now, Wally. We have a quest. I don't suppose you know where Aspen went? Unsurprisingly, the ostrich just eyed her expectantly. Puffing a little laugh, she stroked his head, sending out a quick message over party chat. Aspen! Can you hear me? Silas! When there was no response, she glanced at the party list and saw that everyone was either logged off or maximum distance exceeded. Since the maximum distance was about a mile, that didn't really help much. There was a whole lot of Bright outside of chat range. Quickly, she pulled up her city map, more grateful than ever to be back in her old stomping grounds. In Veritas Online, you could expand your map in one of three ways. First, you could buy one, and NPCs selling city maps weren't hard to find, but only public streets and buildings were marked. Second, you could get one from another player, if they were willing to share. Unfortunately, you could only choose an area of map to share, not what to share on that map. That meant that if anything special or secret was on it, most people weren't willing to sell, or if they did, it wouldn't be cheap. Finally, you could explore it yourself. As part of the tutorial, every player received a copy of the public map of their starter location. After that, it was up to them to fill it out. Many parts of a map would self-populate as you explored, but you could also put down markers, notes, and conveniently create a search grid for those super entertaining, find me one of these quests. Not. Now, Rouge stuck a pin in the dead tent and told the map to draw a circle around her a mile in every direction. Next, she had it lay a fog of war over the parts of the map outside her circle, setting the opacity at 15%. Finally, she overlaid the unexplored area with all the neighborhoods marked in different colors. Her sharp hazel eyes flickered over the map as she tried to figure out what Aspen could be up to. If it was her, she'd be hunting for a place for Millie and Struthio to start their restaurant so she could complete that quest. As much as Aspen liked the young couple, however, she doubted he'd be wandering alone in the dark for that. So, something he wanted privacy for. Something he didn't want to do during the day. When it would be safer. She rolled her eyes. That implied something sneaky and personal. Her eyes locked onto the castle and the fancy estates surrounding it. He'd better not be sneaking into the castle. Assuming he wasn't stupid, which he wasn't, usually that left. She reached out and grabbed Codswallop's small saddle, vaulting up with a handspring and a half-twist. She could feel the tiny pad that protected her backside from the bird's bony spine, and vice versa, but she suspected that anyone else would see a regular horse saddle. Maybe one of those little English saddles? Settling as comfortably into the pad as she could, and tucking her knees behind Codswallop's fluffy little wings, and how did the illusion deal with that, she clucked encouragingly. Okay, Wally, let's go knock on someone's door. Once we find it. Knock, knock indeed,